So this evening we're going to be taking a verse out of the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita entitled The Universal Form. This is a very nice, especially a nice verse, because Srila Prabhupada comments in the purport of this verse that it is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. Many of us have heard of the Bhagavad Gita, and we may know a little bit about it here and there. But what is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita? And Srila Prabhupada makes that, brings that point out here in this verse and in the purport. So the verse is as follows, text 55. Madkarma kin madparamo madbhakta sangavarjita nirvaira sarvabhuteshu yaksamam eti pandava. Translation. My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contamination of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. This verse is, we'll ask everyone, please repeat. My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contamination of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. Srila Prabhupada also comments that this instruction that Krishna is giving us here is the process to attain success in spiritual activity. We're doing so many things in life, and we have so many different types of work, so many different types of responsibilities, desires. But the most important work that one can do is strive for the for spiritual consciousness or spiritual perfection. That is the perfection of life. Therefore, the Bhagavatam explains tasyaiva heto prayate to ko vido na labhyate yad brahmantam uparyada. The Bhagavatam explains that one who is actually intelligent or philosophically inclined, and this is important to understand. There are so many intelligent people in the world, no doubt, and they may have so many letters after their name, and they may have so many certificates on the wall, but real intelligence means to, and Krishna defines that, Srila Prabhupada clarifies it or comments on it in the purport. It's a rather long purport, so we'll just have to try and cover as much as we can within the allotted time. But the Bhagavatam explains that one who's actually intelligent or philosophically inclined should endeavor for that which is not obtainable in the material sphere. Na labhyate yad brahmantam uparyadha. So we can travel from the highest planet, Brahmaloka, or we can travel down to the lowest planets. These descriptions are given in the Bhagavatam of so many different planetary systems. One can travel throughout all of this creation and may not find this spiritual consciousness, which is paramount, which is most important for the human form of life. So the Bhagavatam explains that the goal of life, again, we have to understand what is our goal. Is our goal to become very successful materially, or is our goal to become happy, or is our goal to get free from birth, death, old age, and disease, which we're seeing before our eyes every day. So what is the goal? Krishna explains that in this verse, that the supreme goal of life should be to go back to the spiritual world from whence we came. This is not our natural state, obviously, because every day we're experiencing so many miserable situations, whether it be physically, mentally, or socially, environmentally. It's not natural. But there is an existence that's beyond that misery, and that is the spiritual world. So the goal of life should be to attain to that spiritual kingdom, which is not obtainable in the material creation. And the material creation is can be quite attractive. Just like so many people may think that coming from this country to this country, to that country, or to this neighborhood, to that neighborhood, or this situation or that situation is going to be better. But the reality of it is that it's not. This material world means dukhalayam ashashvatam. It's a temporary place. Even you find some comfortable situation, or you may be successful, you may be a rock star, but eventually you get gray and old, and nobody cares for your music. So the eventuality of that miserable, that misery of material life is there. So how to get free from that, or where to go? So the Bhagavatam explains that should be the spiritual world, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead exists. And Krishna is explaining to Arjuna here that one who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contamination of fruitive activities and mental speculation, and who works for me, he will attain that supreme goal of life. So Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport that anyone who wants to approach the personality of Godhead on the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky and be intimately connected with the Supreme Personality of Krishna must take this formula. And that formula, again, is to be engaged in a devotional service. That is the real success. Therefore, this verse is considered the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, because the Bhagavad Gita is a book directed to the conditioned souls who are engaged in this material world with the purpose of lording it over. We're only here for one reason, and that's because we have an attitude about trying to lord it over. And it's exhibited practically speaking 24/7. We want to enjoy this situation or that situation. We want to be some or other the enjoyer. So this material world has been created for that reason. It's not a natural position, of course, because we can't enjoy no matter how hard you try. Therefore, Krishna has been so kind that he's given us the Bhagavad Gita, which is directed or given in such a way that it gives directions as to how we can get out of this miserable material existence. It's meant to show us how our spiritual existence or our eternal relationship with the personality of Godhead is the most important thing, and how as part and parcels, Krishna explains that, Maya Angsa Jiva Loka Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, we're eternally his part and parcel. We're eternally meant to be engaged in his service. And how to do that? How to do that? Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport that one should transfer his energy entirely to Krishna conscious activities. And what does that mean? That means anasaktasya vishayan yataraham upayunjita nirbande krishna sambande yuktam varagim uchate. It means that whatever we're doing, whatever work that we're engaged in this material world, it should be some or other dovetailed or directed toward Krishna. Some or other. It doesn't matter what kind of work we do. We can do so many works. We can be a musician. We can be a laborer. We can be a teacher. We can be a doctor. We can be so many things, no doubt. But Krishna wants us to some or other direct that activity toward him. Yagyartart kamano yatra lokoyam karabambandana. Otherwise, that work, it binds us to this material world. And therefore, and what does that binding to this material world means? It means that we have to repeatedly experience birth, death, old age, and disease. Repeatedly. Srila Prabhupada points out here. For example, one may be engaged in business, but to transform that activity into Krishna consciousness, one has to do business for Krishna. Right now, our interest is to do business, in the conditioned state at least. We're thinking to do we do business with Krishna. That's our, Krishna, I will certainly serve you provided you give me this and this and this. Instead of doing business for Krishna, we want to do business with Krishna. So that is what keeps us in this material world. That's what keeps us entangled in material life repeatedly. And we try to make so many plans for enjoyment. Nalabhyate sukavan, what is that? Nalabhyate dukavad anyata sukam kalena sarvatra gabira rangasa. In actuality, happiness, it comes in time. If we're just patient, just as distress comes of its own accord, we don't have to make any plans for it, right? People don't go outside looking for misery. We didn't wake up this morning knocking or walking down the street and yelling out, please, something miserable happened to me. Or is there anybody out there who can make life miserable for me? We don't go looking for that. But it happens. It happens. Just as in due course happiness comes, so does distress. So, therefore, one should from the very beginning, direct one's life. Prahlad Maharaj explains, Komarada Charat Pragyo Dharmam Bhagavatam Iha Durlabham. The human form of life is very rare. It's a rare opportunity. We have just like here in this room, there's just a few of us. There are so many millions of living entities, but there's a few living entities in this creation who are in the human form of life. And there are still yet fewer who are interested in spiritual life. And there are still fewer who are interested in understanding the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. And there are still fewer who actually realize him and engage in his devotional service. And then there's the rare few who actually go back to the spiritual world. So it's a rare opportunity. Durlabha manasa janma tadapya dhruvam artaram. Therefore, one should, from the very beginning, or as soon as possible at least, engage in Krishna consciousness, in self-realization, in the process of devotional service, as Krishna explains here. That if you do that, then you'll certainly come to me. And that's what we want. We want to go back to Krishna. But why do we want to go back there? Srila Prabhupada points that out here in the purport, where he says that the devotee of the Lord wants to go back to the spiritual world because he understands it. Where's the, the word mat parama refers to one who considers the association of Krishna in his supreme abode to be the highest perfection of life. Such a person does not wish to be elevated to the higher planets. Because he understands the difference between material existence and the spiritual world. Chintamani prakara sadmasukalpa briksha. The spiritual world is very nicely described by Lord Brahma in his prayers to Govinda, in which he describes how the spiritual world is full of chintamani stones. That as you go out, just like you may walk out and there may be some stones in the street, those stones are like chintamani. They're rare and wish-fulfilling. They can provide you with whatever desires you may have, or they may satisfy whatever desires you may have. There are also wish-fulfilling trees. So the spiritual world is, there's no comparison. So the devotee of the Lord understands that this material world is a temporary place, that it's full of miserable conditions. Therefore, we engage in spiritual work so that we can be freed of this existence. So, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here in the purport that doing business. If Krishna is the proprietor of the business, then Krishna should enjoy the profit of the business. If a businessman is in possession of thousands and thousands of dollars, or if he has to offer all this to Krishna, he can do it. This is work for Krishna. Instead of constructing a big building for his sense gratification, it's like so many people, they want to construct things, but they like to put their name on it. Like Trump this and Trump that. But Srila Prabhupada points out here, he can construct a nice temple for Krishna, and he can install a deity of Krishna and arrange for the deity's service, as is outlined in the authorized books of devotional service. This is all Krishna karma. One should not be attached to the result of his work. But the result should be offered to Krishna, and one should accept as prasadam the remnants of offerings to Krishna. If one constructs a very big building for Krishna and installs the deity of Krishna, one is not prohibited from living there, but it is understood that the proprietor of the building is Krishna. Krishna owns everything. Ahang sarvasya prabhavo. Krishna is the owner and proprietor. Sarva loka maheshwaram. Krishna also explains in the Bhagavad Gita that it all belongs to him. And whatever we have is just borrowed. We only have it for a temporary period of time. It may be for a few years. It may be for hundreds and thousands of years, such as the demigods. But but ultimately, it has to be given back. So it should be offered to Krishna. If one constructs a very big building for Krishna and installs the deity, one is not prohibited from living there, but it is understood that the proprietor of the building is Krishna. That is called Krishna consciousness. However, if one is not able to construct a temple for Krishna, one can engage himself in cleansing the temple of Krishna. That is also Krishna karma. So there's so many different ways that one can be engaged in devotional service. It's not that we're limited. Devotional service is so nice that whatever your inclination may be, whatever your condition or your status may be, Krishna provides, or Krishna is so merciful, he makes himself available. There's a very nice verse by Rupa Goswami that explains that there are different processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. We can hear, just like we're listening now to Krishna's words and Srila Prabhupada's words, simply by hearing, one can attain a spiritual perfection. It's like Maharaj Parikit. We know from the Srimad Bhagavatam, he achieved perfection simply by hearing. Hearing is so important. Yat charaya shutavata chabhaktya samridjamana hridaye vidhaya. It's described in the Bhagavatam that the hearing process is so important because it purifies the heart. So we can hear, or we can chant kirtan, just like we heard some kirtan here just a moment ago. Kirtan also means speaking. There are different types of kirtan. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam that when one hears nicely, when you hear nicely, then you can do kirtan nicely. In other words, if you hear properly from the right source, then you can perform, then you can apply that nicely. But if the hearing is not there, then the practice becomes a struggle, and the remembering does not take effect, does not happen. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. After hearing and performing properly, then remembrance comes. We all have experience that the more you do something, you hear someone, your teacher tells you, this is how you repair the engine. Okay, so you do it, and the more you do it, the easier it becomes for you to remember. Oh, this part goes here, this part goes there. Vishnu Smaranam, Para Sevanam. Then there's a serving. Then one becomes enthused to serve. So Shravanam Kirtanam, Shravanam means hearing. So that was Shravanam means speaking. That was Sugadeva Goswami. Shravanam means hearing. I'm sorry. Shravanam, hearing, Prikit, and then Kirtan was Sugadeva Goswami. Smaranam is Prahlad Maharaj. These are all examples of personalities who achieve perfection in different devotional activities. Vishnu Smaranam Para Sevanam, Lakshmi Devi, she's glorified for her serving of the lotus feet. Archanam, Parasevanam. Archanam means serving the deities, like Prithu Maharaj. He's glorified for his worshipping the deity, just like we very nicely worship the deities here. Vandanam, we're offering prayers in front of the deities. Akura is glorified for offering very nice prayers. Dasyam, service. We're aspiring to become good servants, like Hanuman, Sakyam, or at least we want to become friendly with the Supreme Lord, like Arjuna, Atmani Vedanam, or we give up everything. And who is the example of giving up everything? Bali Maharaj. So, of course, there are many processes and many different ways that we can engage in devotional service, but that devotional service is so important, as Lord Krishna is explaining here, and Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here in the purport, that by that devotional service, hearing with eagerness and devotion, and meditating upon those instructions within the heart, one gradually becomes enlightened in devotional service. And that enlightenment develops into a detachment from material life and an attachment to the instructions of the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master. So, Prabhupada points out here, the word matpara refers to one who considers the association of Krishna in his supreme abode to be the highest perfection of life. Such a person does not wish to be elevated to the higher planets, such as the moon or sun in heavenly, or the heavenly planets, or even the highest planet of this universe, Brahmaloka. So, devotional service is so nice that one loses interest in even being promoted to the higher planets. And the higher planets, we understand from descriptions given in the Vedic literatures, are very, very attractive, where one lives for thousands of years, where the residents are very attractive. The sense gratification is beyond our comprehension. But the devotees of the Lord are so attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord, are so attracted to the process of devotional service that even such things become less important. There's no attraction. Because we know that they're temporary. In due course, you have to give all of that up. So it makes sense. Best to go for that which is eternal. And that, again, is Krishna's abode in the spiritual world and the process of devotional service. The process of devotional service is so nice that whatever you perform, even if it's just a little bit, whatever you can perform, Salpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that there's no loss. There's no loss. Whatever you do for him, there's no loss. It's not like in the material world when you take something out of an account, you have less of it. Your balance is less and less. But the process of devotional service is different. That when you engage in Krishna's service, that account actually increases and it's eternal. And is sustaining. The term Sangha Varjita is very significant. One should disassociate himself with persons who are against Krishna. Not only are the atheistic persons against Krishna, but also are those who are attracted to fruitive activities and mental speculation. Therefore, the pure form of devotional service is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. And Srila Prabhupada quotes this very nice verse, Anyabhi lasita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anukuljina krishna nushilanam bhakti rutama. That uttama bhakti means, pure devotional service means that it's freed from mental speculation and fruitive activities, the desire for fruitive activities. All of these are unwanted things, and although there may be opportunities, or there may be processes which, in the material estimation, seem very good, some humanitarian work or some philanthropic work. It's still mixed. It's still mixed with some fruitive desire. So the process of bhakti means that one is freed from that bad association, that influence. Asat sangyatag e vaishnava chara. The Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that one should avoid persons who are interested in that sort of goal in life, sense gratification. One should avoid that kind of association because it's distracting from our real purpose, and that is going back to Godhead. Lord Chaitanya also describes that to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya when he met him and he explained to him, Nishkinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajanan Mukasya Paramparam Jigamasur Bhavasagarasya. This Bhavasagara, this material universe, if one is interested in going beyond it, of course, so many people may think, well, why? It's not a bad place. We're okay. You may be okay for now, but we don't know what the next moment has in store. So if one is interested in going beyond this bhava-sagara, this attachment to material life, then one should avoid that kind of association. Those persons who are interested in sense gratification or making the goal of life that kind of purpose. One should avoid that. And associating with that, it's compared to drinking poison. No one is interested. Who is interested in drinking poison? No one. So one who is actually desirous of going beyond this material creation should avoid that situation and engage in pure devotional service, which means to be become freed from that karma and jnana. Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī clearly states that if anyone wants to execute unalloyed devotional service, he must be freed from all kinds of material contamination. He must be freed from the association of persons who are addicted to fruitive activities and mental speculation. When freed from such unwanted association and from the contamination of material desires, one favorably cultivates knowledge of Krishna. And what that means is that finally the mind is freed up. Right now the mind is it's burdened by so many different things, so many other things. And we all have experienced how the mind is so fickle, how it becomes such a challenge to focus it because it's been conditioned by material nature, by the modes of nature, and by bad association. So when we engage in pure devotional service, or when we engage in devotional service in proper association, then the mind becomes freed up. We can focus it on what is most important at hand. Then we can cultivate Krishna consciousness properly. Srila Prabhupada points out here, one should think of Krishna and act for Krishna favorably, not unfavorably. Kamsa was an enemy of Krishna's, from the very beginning of Krishna's birth, and we hear this in the Bhagavatam. From the very beginning, he was focused on Krishna, but his attitude was totally different. His attitude was, some or other killed this personality. He was obsessed with that. So devotional service means to be engaged in Krishna's service favorably. Therefore, this verse is quoted, Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam. That is from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And that verse teaches us that there are favorable things, that there are certain things which are most favorable or necessary in advancing in spiritual life. And those six, there's six major things. And that first one is that one should accept those things which are favorable to developing Krishna consciousness. We accept only those things which are favorable. So if Krishna provides us with a very nice building, or if Krishna provides us with a little straw hut someplace, as long as it's favorable for the execution of Krishna consciousness, we accept it. And we reject those things which are unfavorable. They may something may seem very favorable, but in actuality, it's a distraction. We all have experience of that. You may get some wealth, for instance, but it may be a distraction from your real purpose, and that is executing a devotional service. So accepting those things which are favorable and rejecting those which are unfavorable. And also understanding or believing that Krishna will always give us protection. It's necessary. We have to realize that Krishna is real, that he's not some imaginary figure, or that he's just in some book that he spoke 5,000 years ago. It's not a reality now. No, Krishna is here now. And if we understand that, and we develop knowledge of that, we'll realize that Krishna will give us protection even here and now. So that is a principle of surrender, a very important principle of surrender. And that Krishna is always is also our guardian and master. Krishna is our he's always there protecting us. He's there within the heart. But he's also our master. We're dependent on his mercy. And then also that we fully surrender to him. Not just conditionally, or let me surrender as long as I get this return. No, it means unconditional surrender, and it all. And then finally, that one should always be meek and humble, realizing that we're whatever we have is just borrowed plumes. Whatever we have is just a temporary gift. This body is a gift of the Lord, and we're very fortunate to be here, to whatever we have, and not take it for granted. So if we maintain this sort of mentality, then as Krishna points out here in this verse, he certainly comes to me. And the purport is quite long, so we can't really touch upon a whole lot of Srila Prabhupada's points, but the purport of it all is that if we simply make Krishna the supreme goal of our life and engage in his devotional service free from mental speculation and fruitive desires, then Krishna will certainly take us back to the spiritual world. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? We'll read the verse again. It's such a nice verse. My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contamination of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. And when Krishna explains or talks about mental speculation, and Prabhupada discusses it a bit in the purport, we're not just referring to your common person who may be out on the street and thinking that, well, life is like this or like that, but it also refers even to these scientists. These scientists are, Srila Prabhupada makes that point in the purport, those who are against Krishna, he equates them to also the mental speculators. And I was reading one article, something about Charles Darwin. And his one statement from him is that he viewed all beings not special creations, but lineal descendants from some few beings who lived in the distant past. So when people hear this, and the vast majority of people in the world are polluted by these impersonal and atheistic ideas, when they hear this, they lose sight that actually living beings are special creations. There's no doubt. The human being, all living beings, are special creations. They're not just popping up magically. They're not just a combination of a few chemicals, or things are just developing by accident or by some foolish idea that you know, the survival of the fittest. It doesn't work like that. We're so heavily indoctrinated by these ideas, these Mayavadi, impersonalist and voidist ideas, that people just take it for granted. It's accepted, even though it doesn't make sense. People accept it. And as a result, in general, people have no idea what spiritual life is. Therefore, Prabhupada points out here in the purport that this particular verse, or at least Krishna's instructions here, explain the process by which one can attain success in spiritual activity. The general mass of people have no idea what real spiritual activity is. That knowledge is lacking. Therefore, Krishna is giving the Bhagavad Gita. He's giving this wonderful knowledge, and it's being passed to us by great realized personalities such as Srila Prabhupada, and we have a great gift, so we should appreciate it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.